Donnie DeSilva, that is my partner, Notorious T.I.D., Chris Tidwell. We are back. You know, we've been off for a couple of weeks because, you know, summer tings, but we're back. So, you know, if you're unsatisfied with the service we provided, feel free to email me and we'll send you a full refund.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what we'll do.
let me set it up properly. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the peanut butter to my chocolate. He's the Kobe to my Shaq. He's the Estelle Getty to my B. Arthur. That is the infamous Chris Tidwell.
Wow. Those are some mighty big shoes to fill. Like
B. Arthur's shoes were like size 12.
They had to have been at least, yeah. Right?
Yeah, there's a big lady.
I think they were bigger than that. Somebody got to do some research on that. I bet you B. Arthur had a bigger foot than a 12.
What's your shoe size? I don't even know.
13 extra fat.
You're only a 13 at your height? I thought you'd be a bigger shoe.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not that, that's not the issue. It's the, I got to get like that triple E thing.
Oh, you got the fat foot. Yeah.
Those super wide Flintstone, I can stop a car feet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The kind that beats the sides.
That's why you just wear those like strap-on sandals whenever you can, right?
No. I've worked my way up to slides. Okay. It'll never be Crocs. That is just the stupid. That's the dumbest thing in the world.
I have to tell you, I'm fine with people wearing slides, especially this time of year. But the people that wear the Jesus sandals, like those Birkenstocks, I don't know what it is, bro. Ever since Birkenstocks and like thong sandals, both of them, the ones that go between the toe. Yeah, that's, oh my God, bro. Those are the weirdest shoe designs ever to me.
Okay. First of all, feet are gross.
Yeah.
They're disgusting. And let alone having something like stuck between your toes like that. Forget about it. That's disgusting. And the other thing with the other sandals, the reason you hate those is because you don't like hippies, Donnie.
Is that why?
That's what it is. Yeah, you don't like hippies.
I would have been really angry if I was old enough to be at Woodstock. I would have just been like, can you all put on some fucking Vans?
You know, like, I don't know if they had Vans back then, Michael J. Fox.
Some Converse. I don't know. Get some Chuck Taylors up in this house.
Dude.
A little something.
I don't know if you saw the videos of how muddy it was going on over there, but I don't think some Chuck Taylors would have been a good idea.
All the more reason. Now you got mud feet. Who wants mud feet while you're listening to Jimi Hendrix, man?
At least then you don't got to look at the feet.
Oh, God. It's so gross, mud feet.
Would you ever do one of those foot fetish things?
What? What are you talking about? You've
been one of those guys that's like stuck a toe in your mouth?
Listen, don't tell everybody what you and I do on the weekends. I did share a story. I'll tell you this quickly and then we'll get to our featured guest.
Absolutely.
Last weekend, I had the opportunity at a Super Kick Pro Wrestling show to spend a little bit of time with two people who I really, really like. And I know you like them too, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, the Motor City Machine Guns. And we were just, you know, shooting the breeze, exchanging stories. And somehow, I don't know how his name came up, we started talking about Tony Atlas.
Oh boy.
And I told Sabin this story about one time when I was at a show in Milton, Ontario for this Mark promoter that ended up ripping everybody off. And I'm there with Tony and I'm changing in the back. I'm putting on, you know, nice clothes because I'm going to do the announcing and all this. I'm putting on nice clothes. I'm changing out of running shoes, putting on dress shoes. And I take off my socks and Tony Atlas looks at me and goes, you got some nice feet. Because Tony has a bit of a foot obsession, and apparently he doesn't care who they're attached to.
You know, you say he doesn't care who they're attached to. I'm telling you that he probably thinks you got some sexy lady feet.
I might. I do think that for a giant man, I have pretty feet.
Like Brittany Griner feet, but like you got some sexy lady feet.
This is gross. I hate this whole conversation.
That's what's happening. Dude, one day I'll tell you the story about how when I first introduced him to WWE referee Adrian Butler.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And he liked Adrian's pretty feet?
Oh, he liked more than just his feet. Boy, Tony fell in line and ribbed this kid so hard. Oh, it's the best.
I feel like I heard this story a million years ago.
It's the best. Anyways.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if I can pull it together and be a quasi-professional, it is time right now for the big hello. And this week's guest is a man that I met just a few months ago. You know, it's that old timeless tale of your buddy who also works in media, shout out to Jeff Rahman, who calls you up and says, hey, my pals at Kiss FM, they want to learn how to wrestle and they want to film it for Instagram. Do you know anywhere they could go and do that? And I said, do I? Of course I do. Let me introduce you to my friends at Superkicked Pro in Toronto. So this gentleman, where's he at? Is he here?
Oh, yeah.
Let's bring him in. This gentleman right here, he showed up along with one half of the famed Roz and Mocha morning show, and they decided to learn the basics of pro wrestling. And to say I was impressed by this man's tenacity, ability to absorb pain, and just sheer determination would be an understatement. When he's not falling down inside of a ring, he works daily as the executive producer of the aforementioned Roz and Mocha show. But let's be honest, he ain't your typical producer, y'all. This dude's got main character energy. He shows his comedic chops regularly, both on radio and socials. His monthly recap tunes are a delight. Let's check out July.
Yes! Back with another Kiss recap. First off, gotta send a big rest in peace to Shannon Doherty, Richard Simmons, and Bob Newhart. All right, here we go. New movie Deadpool, Wolverine, Toronto flooding. Boy! Oh boy! The Bear could win big at the Emmys, Donald Trump shooting. Boy! Scary stuff. Oh boy! Not like us, Video Kendrick. Ross Hiccup's age right. Alec Baldwin case got dismissed. LCBO strike. Olympics determine the best. Go Canada! Euro Cup, it was won by Spain and Copa America. Love Island season was drama. Eminem dropped a album. Ingrid Andress anthem. Disaster! Rick Ross had beef in Vancouver. Robert Downey Jr.'s back. He is Dr. Doom. Microsoft shut down the place. Twist the movie look good. Biden out, enter Kamala. Biden out, enter Kamala. Biden out, enter Kamala. Biden out, enter Kamala. Hello Kitty, not a cat. Mr. Beast, oh why? New music, Katy Perry in this month, July.
I don't know what's wrong with you young people. You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?
And in addition to all of that, you've seen him in the past as a contributor on Breakfast Television, and he's an instructor at my alma mater, Humber College. Go Hawks. And he even leads his church's choir group. Good Lord, this man have too many job. Ladies and gentlemen, if he ever tries stand-up, he'll be a problem. He's got that street cred, but plays the system. Everybody done know. Ask the man dem. Everybody done know from here to Bethlehem. Follow his IG for the monthly post mortem. But bat, bark, and bow. Those are homonyms. Yeah, that line was whack, but I'm not Eminem. Now give it up to Mr. Parkinson, first name Shem.
Bro.
I don't even know what to say. That is an introduction. Let me tell you, I need to save that and just play that every time I walk into the office. Thank you for having me.
As a reminder, this ain't how you rap. That's what you need to do.
Hey,
I'm telling you straight up. Listen, I'm telling Donnie, I think that that last rap of yours might have given me Parkinson's. All right.
I never called it rap. It is just creative poetry. That's all it is.
Okay. All right. Not that slam poetry, though, right?
Not quite. I don't have the street cred to pull off slam poetry. Shem, what up, man?
Hey, man. How you getting, man?
We're doing well. Thanks for joining us.
You guys are hilarious.
We've been trying to put this together for a minute now, and I'm glad that you have time, dude. Because, listen, here's the thing. Like I said in the intro, you and I had a chance to meet a few months back. And like, I knew that you were coming into the show, and I'll be honest with you. I don't listen to the Roz and Mocha show a lot these days.
Thanks, guys. It was nice hanging out. I didn't leave.
Now. But when I do listen, I love the show. But when you came in and I met you that day, I was like, this dude is like, he's got star power energy. And here you are. You're the executive producer of the show. First and foremost, talk to me about that. Talk to me about that role. I know that you went to the same school as me, Humber College. You graduated from their radio broadcasting program, although you and I are not in the same class. We're about 50 years apart.
Shem has some.
when you went to school, was your thought, I want to be in production, or were you thinking, I'm an on-air star?
It's a great question. So actually, got to go back even further. I actually went to Ryerson, or now known as Toronto Metropolitan University, and I did law. So my degree is actually in law.
Wow.
And I guess I must have decided, who needs money? Let's get into media. And so I went to Humber for a year, and I did the radio broadcasting course there now. And no, you know what? I actually wanted to be a radio star. I had my own show for a little while. I was doing overnights for a bit, did evenings, which is typically sort of how you start out in radio anyways. You don't get to just jump to the morning show, unfortunately. And then about 4 years into that gig, there was an opportunity to produce on the Roz and Mocha show. I kind of felt like my on-air sort of pathway had been stagnant, quite honestly, and I just decided, you know what, let's shake things up a little bit and do producing. And I gotta say, at first I was like, oh man, I'm gonna be buried, I'm gonna be behind the scenes, who the hell's gonna notice me, who's gonna see me? And being on this show has given me a platform, I would say, even bigger and greater than doing my own show has, you know. And again, not to sort of blow smoke up their ass because they don't need it, but Roz and Mocha have been incredibly selfless in allowing myself as one of their producers to shine, right? Like they understand that, you know, if I shine and the other producers shine and the people on the show shine, it only enhances their brand, right? So they've been incredibly selfless in terms of allowing me to, you know, grow and spread my wings a little bit. And you see in the that monthly recap for July, that's part of the creative thing that I get to do that's separate from the show, but it gets to be sort of my own thing.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a second in detail, but I mean, Tid and I have known this forever. Like our theme song says, you know, he and I have been broadcasting together since 96. And over the course of those years, we've done several different shows together. But one thing we've always loved is the concept of having us and then having a cast of characters associated with the show. Basically, we just ripped off Howard Stern. I think everyone's been ripping off Howard Stern ever since.
Totally.
So, but it does take, there's a two-pronged thing there, right? It takes a pair of hosts that are secure enough to not feel upstaged, because a lot of times those people that are doing those bit parts actually become more popular because you're getting them in small, tight, well-produced doses. So it takes a couple of hosts that can keep their egos in check, but it also takes those other people. It takes them keeping their ego in check, right? Because it can be tough. If you have a live mic during Roz and Mocha, man, is it hard for you not to just become a third host, but you know, that's not your role.
Totally. Yeah.
I'll let you finish. I'll let you jump in. I just want to finish the thought. Tid and I, and Tid, you remember, over the years, we've had people a third or fourth in studio with us, and they would complain. They're like, well, I never had time to talk. You guys didn't let me. And it's like, we're not going to force feed you lines. Like, it's your job to find the opportunities on when to interject. Well, I don't know when. Then it ain't going to work out.
Nope. You mentioned that you guys were the Shaq and Kobe, and I'll use this as a Lakers analogy. Those Lakers in the early 2000s win, obviously, because Shaq and Kobe are great, but they don't win those titles without Robert Horry, without Derek Fisher, without those other guys, Rick Fox, right? They don't win without those. And you mentioned the having a live mic. There are three other people on the show with outside of Roz and Mocha, including myself. And those guys trust us to have a live mic. We get to control our own mics and trust us to be able to jump in and add to a conversation. And the one thing that they always told me from day one is, if you're going to jump in all the way. Don't half-ass it. You know, pick your spots. We trust us to lead you or lead the conversation in a certain type of way to make sure that you shine. And I will also say they are really good. And I'm sure you guys have come across this in your years of broadcasting, but a lot of people are very, very keen on having the last word, right? Having the big laugh, having the moment in whatever the sort of topic of conversation is. And those guys are like, whatever, whoever has the line or whatever, it doesn't need to be us. We don't need to necessarily take the last shot, right? As long as we win, or in this case, as long as that segment or that bit works well, that's all they care about. And I think having that mindset, having two people who can have that mindset is critical to success.
And at the end of the day, it's their name on the moniker.
Hell yeah, I ain't gonna say nothing.
You know what I'm saying, right? Like, here's my question though. Like, and this is an honest question that I've had for so many years. Why radio? Like, what is it that makes somebody say, you know what, I want to get into radio? There's a TV. Those people are like mega stars. You know what I mean? Like, totally. You've got movies, huge stars, and you say to yourself, I want to be, because you said at the beginning of this, you want to be a radio star. So why? What happened? What happened in your life as a child that pushed you in that direction?
I looked in the mirror and I said, oh, TV, not for you.
Everybody says that. Everybody's like, he's got a face for, radio and a voice for newspaper.
But I'll tell you, honestly, the truth of the matter is that there is a certain intimacy to radio that just does not exist with television, right? Totally. We are in people's households or in their cars or wherever they listen to us or however they listen to us every single day. And radio has now really evolved into really delving into the podcast world. And the Roz and Mocha Show podcast is massive, right? Like, for especially for a radio show, it's one of the biggest in North America. And so we do a really, really good job of connecting with our audience there. And for me, it's the intimacy of the audience. Again, we are in there every single day. There is I liken us to bartenders. In this sense, we probably drive people that want to drink with some of the things that we say, but also people trust us. People come in and spill their guts to us and talk about their life. They want to hear us talk about our lives. And, for the most part, we connect with them in a way that I just don't think television allows you to do so, right? So even this medium, podcasting, has a level of intimacy that television just does not. So for me, I was really sort of keen on building that bridge and building that bond with the audience. And I'm telling you, it is incredible. The things that our audience knows about me. And again, I ain't shit. My name is not on the marquee. I am just, I'm a Derek Fisher. I'm a Rick Fox, right? I'm just one of those guys. But the way that our audience has taken to myself and have embraced me, I've been on the show for almost 10 years now, has really been incredible. I don't think that happens if I'm on a TV show.
Wow. I'll be honest with you. Hold on. 10 years and you still ain't got a sniff of the name on that sign yet?
Need a new agent.
I need a new agent. Yeah. I'll tell you something. I'm okay with it. Because it's not mine. And I still have goals for me to build my own thing from ground zero. That's my big thing. I'm happy to help contribute, but I don't want my name on this because it wasn't mine from the begin with.
In fairness, you're not a Rick Fox and you're not a Robert Horry. You're a James Harden with Oklahoma City.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say
you're just waiting for the next team where you're dropping 35 points a night.
That's the hope, man. That's the hope.
And that's what's good. Because dude, you have star factor. And when I want to respond to what you said about, you know, the intimacy of radio. Man, I learned early on in my career, like, TV is so produced, right? Like, you don't see anyone on TV just wing it, right? I remember working at Sports Center back when it was still called Sports Desk. And like every line, even their banter was scripted. You know what I mean? And it was like, it was so, so produced. It drove me nuts. And then those guys, the Gino Rettas, the Darren Detitians, rest in peace, the, you know, Teresa Hergertz, Michael Landsberg, man, when they got opportunities to go do radio, they went crazy. Like, I can say whatever I want for an hour. And then podcasting became the bigger extension of that. It's like, now there's no rules, baby, do whatever you want. And I think one of the biggest changes, and you can tell me if you agree, in the radio world over the last 7 to 10 years, is they finally have stopped looking at podcasts as the ugly step cousin. Now it's like, we have to embrace this part of the industry.
You will lose as a radio show if you don't embrace podcasting. You'll just flat out lose, right? Like, especially, you know, post, especially pre-pandemic, radio listening has changed since the pandemic. It has really, really changed, right? And radio really relies on that sort of morning tuning, people driving into work. But now people are hybrid or working completely from home or going into work later. So radio needed to, radio's late. Let's be very clear. It's not like radio has discovered something. Radio is late, but they needed to embrace podcasting because of those habits. So it's interesting you mentioned podcasting. The one thing that our show has always sort of understood, or especially over the last couple of years, is we are no longer competing against other radio shows. We are competing for people's attention in all forms of media, whether it's podcasting, whether it's Spotify, Apple Music, whatever the case is, we are competing for your attention. So what can we do and what can we bring to make you decide when you're in your vehicle, when you're working out, when you're doing whatever you're doing to decide, you know what, I want to go tune in and listen to five people talk as opposed to listen to music or watch TV, right? And it has changed for sure, but it needed to, because if without it, radio would just die.
Ted, you wanted to jump in?
I don't even remember what I was going to say now.
Well, then I can jump in. I can tell you this, Shem. I don't know. Is Joe Anderson still wandering the halls at Humber College? Is he still around there?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't even think I know Joe Anderson.
So he was one of the head honchos at the radio program back when I was there. Him and Robert Holiday. Yes. And so I love those guys. And I remember the two of them telling me when I was in school there, they're like, you know, it's just a matter of time before AM and FM radio are a thing of the past. We're moving towards a digital medium. And at the time, satellite radio hadn't even launched. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm like, get out of here. And you could see people's faces like, well, shit, what am I doing in school for radio? Radio's going away. And people were just like freaking out. Now you see the emergence of satellite radio. You see the explosion of the podcast world, which I don't think anyone could have anticipated what that would look like. And now we see things like OEMs, car manufacturers, not putting AM radio into vehicles moving forward. When you see stories like that, As a hardcore radio guy, does it scare you?
No, it used to. It definitely used to. I'm thankful to be on a show that understands that we need to be progressive in that sense, right? Yeah, you made a great point about cars not even putting AM radios anymore into their vehicles. That's why it always surprises me that people actually know our show as a podcast first. Before the radio show, we have a large audience that only know us as a podcast. They don't even know that we exist on the radio. And that's a good thing for us, I think. You know, we need to make sure that we are staying ahead with the times. I don't think radio is, you know, dying or anything like that. But much like TV, it's just become digital, right? TV numbers are down. If anybody looks at TV or Nielsen numbers, those numbers are way down. It doesn't mean TV is necessarily dying. I think the way people consume TV and radio is just changing, right? And I think it's up to those mediums to make sure that they stay ahead with the times. That's why social media is so important. Most people would have no idea what the hell I look like without social media videos. They wouldn't, right? They have no idea. You know how many times people think that I'm a white man? I can't tell you how many times, and for anybody who's listening, I am not. I am a black man. Like the amount of people who will show up to community events and be like, whoa, I had no idea that you were a black guy, right? And they'd be stunned. They'd be literally stunned. So social media and all that stuff is so critical to what we do. And again, people are just consuming us in a different way. They're not just sitting at home, turning the dial, trying to find us anymore. It's different.
Yeah, I thought Maury Sherman was a 6'5" black guy. I'm just fucking with you. Maury Sherman is one of the guys I went to Humber College with. I've known that little guy forever. That's an interesting point you make, though, dude, about being bigger in the podcast world. And you know what strikes me about that sentiment? The Roz and Mocha show is essentially unfireable, right? If Kiss FM ever said one day, we're switching formats, we're going all country all the time or whatever, because we know we've seen crazy stuff like that happen in the radio world, and they flip the switch and the Roz and Mocha show is no longer on Kiss FM, all you do is get yourself a studio, launch a podcast, and you've got the exact same people tuning in every single day. Like you're literally unfireable.
Listen, well, your lips to God's ears. I hope that's the case. But you know what? We're also very fortunate, right? There aren't a lot of radio shows who are able to sort of say that, who can really rely on a massive podcast audience to continue their brand. If you mentioned, radio doesn't work out, but it's a rarity. But the guys have worked hard to build that brand and to build that podcast audience. And I will say, and I want to make this point because I think it's important, a lot of radio shows will do podcasts, but they'll do it in a very, in my opinion, very lazy way, which is just a simple rip and read. So they'll take the beginning of their show. Let's say it starts at 6 a.m. They'll take the end of their show that ends at 10 a.m. They'll piece it together and then they'll say, boom, now it's a podcast. And, we are very deliberate. I'm the person actually in charge of the Roz Mocha podcast, so I'll toot my own horn a little bit, but we're very deliberate with how we put together our podcast, and we drop an episode every single day now. We're very deliberate, and it's not just a simple, here's what we did at 6 a.m. from 10 a.m., boom, here you go, and deliver it. And that's a strategy for sure. It's just not one that we found that has worked, and I think that's really contributed to us being the podcast that we are today.
I think that's a lot to do with the fact that radio isn't radio anymore. You know what I mean? Because there was a time that, when satellite first came out and everybody in radio was like, oh, what is this? You either were a satellite listener or you were a regular terrestrial radio listener, and podcast was always just sitting back in the back going, we're just minding our own damn business over here. Like,
hello.
Right. Right. We've been around for a minute, but you guys keep fighting amongst yourselves. We're just going to sit here and do our thing, right? But now it's got to the point where it's become so easy for a lot of people to put out, quote, a podcast. Just because you put it out there doesn't mean it's good.
Totally.
Like there's a lot of people out there that should not own a microphone. Just like there's a lot of people out there who should not be on the other side of the railing inside of a wrestling show. This happens.
Most transition.
just step on it.
I was just gonna put you over. That was brilliant.
Fucking step on it, you piece of shit. I said you're showing the fucking radio guy. I don't got a damn thing to know about business and radio, but I was about to do some fucking magic up in here, and Donnie's over here just like, hey, watch this. I'm going to kick him in the dick. You piece of shit.
I was patting you on the back. I thought that was genius. Continue, please.
So it brings me to my point, because Donnie said earlier that you had gone down to try your luck at taking a couple of bumps or two in the ring. How did that go for you, first of all? And what did you think after that first initial bump? Please tell me.
I am a big wrestling fan. I have been a wrestling fan.
That ain't got shit to do with shit.
You're absolutely right. It does not. I said to myself, holy shit, these guys are big and these guys are fast. And I've always sort of wondered about the artistry of wrestling, right? And what it takes to put on a quality, great wrestling match. The appreciation that I have as a fan of wrestling for what those men and women do has just gone through the friggin' roof. I'm talking a simple chop to the chest, which I took quite a few. Hurt like a bitch. It hurt like hell. But it was the coolest experience ever. That first bump, first, the hardest thing was learning how to just take a bump. Like that was the most painful thing for me. I'll take a body slam. That's for anybody listening. I don't actually want to take a body slam, but I'm just saying the actual bumping was the hardest thing in the world. But again, my appreciation for what they do, and they make it look so friggin' effortless. Nuts. It's crazy. And then jumping off the rope and all, like, crazy. So good.
But here's my question. When you were there, you were obviously, this was a day one thing. There other day oneers there as well?
Yes. My coworker Mocha, he was also taking bumps with me, and he's also a big wrestling fan. And I think he would probably echo the same sentiment. Just how, again, I feel like people who don't understand wrestling or who don't know wrestling, who are complete outsiders, I think they look at wrestlers and like, oh, just a bunch of dummies, bunch of guys just hitting each other. And in my mind, I'm like, firstly, you're an idiot. Secondly, you don't know what it takes to put on this art form that is wrestling. You have no idea the detail that goes into this, and also to be safe. Right. Like, imagine, like, I forget the gentleman that we was beating the shit out of us at
Jesse V.
Jesse V. Yeah. Shout out to Jesse V. The way that he would punch me, he was safe and he was careful. You know what I mean? You don't even think about that. I think people on the outside don't think about how important it is to be safe when punching somebody in the face. And he was a pro and he was great at it. And I guess, as a fan of wrestling for the last 30 something years, I didn't think about that type of stuff. And that's why I have such an appreciation for what those men and women do inside that ring. It's unbelievable.
I wish I filmed it that day, Tid, because when you asked Shem about that first bump, mm-hmm. before he took his first bump, Chris Chambers was training, and he said, okay, guys, now you're going to learn how to take a bump. And Chambers was still recovering from his torn pectoral, so he wasn't working. So he had Jesse V in the ring. And Jesse, for anyone who doesn't know, is 6'3", 260, fast, athletic. And Jesse says, all right, Shem, Mocha, I'm going to show you a simple back bump. And Jesse hits the mat with force and velocity, like any experienced pro wrestler would do, Tid. And the look, Shem's face, like, I'm sorry for the people listening, not watching, but Shem's eyes just, they just bugged out of his head. Like, you want me to do what?
It sounded like a car wreck when he hit the mat. And that was just a simple back bump.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's the thing. It's the most unnatural thing in the world for you to do. Yeah. Willingly just throw yourself to the ground. You haven't done that since you were a child trying to get a fucking box of cereal at the store. Totally. Right. So as an adult to go and do this, it just seems completely ridiculous. Yeah. My favorite part was how you said that, you know, the thing that hurts the worst is an open hand slap to the chest, not the pile driver, not the body slam, not anything like that. It was an open hand little slappy slap to the titties. And you thought that was the worst thing that you could experience in professional wrestling. Now, my next question is, since you've been there that one day and you've taken that, how many bumps did you take in that day? Less than 10?
No, about 20.
You might have taken 20.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you been back since?
Hell no. You think I'm crazy? No way.
And that's the difference. And that's the difference right there between people that do it and civilians, the ones that you refer to, right? Because it does take a certain sense of stupidity to say to yourself after that first day, because you got home, you're in the bath, you're like Epsom salts, man, that was really tough. You wake up the next day feeling it. Right. And instead of saying to yourself, you know what, I'm going to go back there and do it again, you thought to yourself, no, I'm going to go to my job. I'm going to do my normal everyday life, the shit that I was doing before, because I am not a lunatic. Thank you.
You are 1,000% right. I was sore for 4 or 5 days. And I'm dead serious. Four or five times I was sore. And I said to myself, how do these people do this every single night in, night out, tour, travel at night in and do this? And I didn't do much, right? I didn't have somebody jump on me, you know. But again, that's why my appreciation for them is so high. I will never step in a ring again. Are you kidding me? I'm not stupid.
Hey, you left that day saying you would love to do it again.
I talk shit for a living. That's why I do. I'm also not stupid. My job is to just talk some shit.
Hey, Tid, I know it's almost 30 years ago, but can you think back to that time you took that first bump and what that felt like?
Knocked myself out. 100%. I thought to myself, because I'm 6'4 at the time, probably like 250, 260. You know what I mean? Then, right? And I said to myself, there's no way. Like, I knew from martial arts and how to fight and how to wrestle and how to fall, right? And how to do break falls and all of that kind of stuff. So cool, no problem. But I was not going into this. There's no way in hell I was going into this and jobbing out anything. It was like I was going to show all of these guys that I knew exactly what the fuck was up. And the one thing that I forgot to do was the most important thing, and that's tuck your chin. And when I came back, you know what I mean? It was that white flash, boom, up. You get up, and you're like, oh, I got to go sit up against the fucking ropes for a second, right? And everything just – the world starts doing one of these things. But I did that stupid thing. See, I should have been smart like you and just gone home and been enough is enough. No, 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 no. 26 plus years later.
And that's why he's a broken down piece of meat.
I am the stupidest white man you will ever meet.
You're white? Since when? It's when are you white?
On Wednesday.
Okay. Your indigenous ancestors are cursing you from the grave.
Yeah, you got that right.
Every day they do that. Okay, so last question about that experience. You talked about how it made you appreciate what these guys do every day. Since that day, when you went into the studio, you bumped around and what have you, does it change the way you watch wrestling on TV?
Oh, that's such a good question. You know, no. It doesn't change, but I find that I'm watching for things now a little bit differently, right? So I'm watching when wrestlers fall, they sort of break their fall. I know people who are can't see it, but I notice when they do this, when they break their fall, I notice
wide surface area.
Yes, I notice that. I notice the tucking of the chin, right? I notice even the punches. Right. I noticed those things a little bit more more interesting. But again, it's only made me appreciate the wrestling so much more. And just again, the artistry and the putting on a match and just following your instincts. I know Jesse was saying how, you know, oftentimes, you know, he just goes off instinct. Right. He and the other wrestler will go off instinct and they may not have a chance to discuss things, you know, prior to a match. They just sort of go with it and call it in the ring and do their thing. And I'm just saying, like, that takes skill. Yeah. That takes an incredible amount of skill to think on the fly, to be safe and not hurt somebody and also entertain people. I mean, come on, that's incredible.
It's physical improv is what it is.
Oh, totally. I sit behind a microphone and talk every day and try to entertain people. I use one part of my creativity. That's it. One part of my brain, and that's to try to make people laugh, make people feel good. Wrestlers do a hell of a lot more and have to, again, come across as these larger-than-life figures, entertain, be smart, be safe. You know, again, just a different appreciation for what wrestlers do.
So I will say, Chem. It's all bullshit. It's actually the easiest thing to do in the world. We just wait until radio guys and news guys come in and want to do their stupid little stories, right? We make it look like it's much harder than it actually really is. Because think about it. If it wasn't that easy, there wouldn't be a bunch of mud shows in every little backwater town in a fucking North Kakalaki. This is an actual thing going on right now, Shem. All right. Wrestling has become the podcast worlds of radio. I'm telling you, it's ridiculous out there.
What a callback, Tid. You're the best. So I want to move on to something else, but I will say this is the last thing on that subject, which is, as a member of Superkick management, I am officially extending the invitation to you, Shem. Anytime you want to come back, I understand you don't want to get in the ring, but you'd make a hell of a manager.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that.
You can talk.
The only thing the manager has to do is take a chair shot to the face.
You may need to take a couple chair shots. And the way that you bump as a manager is different than the way you bump as a wrestler.
Okay.
It hurts way less.
Listen, so, I'm sold.
Okay.
I am sold. I would love that. You see, now you got me thinking. Oh, that'd be amazing. Yes.
We'll see you August 23rd. Amen. 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 We'll see you August 23rd at the Great Hall. Talk to me about these monthly recaps that you do for the radio show for KISS. When I do my big hello intro every week for a guest, and I put my four bars of bullshit rhyming together at the end, I mean, I probably spent an hour pulling research, figuring out what I want to say about the person, figuring out what the fuck I'm going to rhyme with their name. And, you know, that's about it. It's usually on average about an hour's worth of work. When I look at what goes into those recaps, and I just think the research on what stories happened, did it happen this month or did it happen the last week of the last month? Mm-hmm. And the research, the writing in order to make it rhythmic and melodic and fit a tune, the filming, the production, the number of cuts and edits and everything. Like, are you starting the July recap in April? Like, what is going on, bro? Like, so, how are you doing this?
Yeah, thank you for that question. Firstly, I don't do this by myself. I'm the one that gets a lot of the praise, but there is a team of people who film, people who edit, you know, people who help me produce the song that deserve a ton of credit. So these started back in January 2022, and I've done one every single month since then. So you're talking about 31, 32 months in a row of recap songs. And I'll never forget, it started because that month a bunch of stuff happened, like Betty White died, call back to B. Arthur and whatnot. Betty White had died, Bob Saget had died. There was a bunch of stuff that happened that month, and I had said to myself, well, you know, I feel like we should be doing something with this. It was a crazy month in pop culture, so came up with the song and did it. And, you know, it was good. It was, you know, poorly produced, but it was fun. It was kind of something I did on the fly last minute. And then there was this need to have original content on across our social pages. And as somebody who has been singing my entire life, I thought, huh, this might be kind of cool, might be a fun challenge. So I did it again the next month in February. And that was, again, crazy. And then I did it in March. And for those who want to go back to March 2022, that's when Will Smith slapped the shit out of Chris Rock. Right. And that was a massive, massive story. And I said, oh, you know, I think I've got something in here now. So I decided to do these monthly. And it's funny that you asked me if I start these early. I can't. Right.
I know. I'm fucking with you. But
of course. But you know what I mean? Like, but it's a great question because people will ask me how long these take. They'll be like, oh, do you just do it all month? And I'm like, I can't.
Right.
I have to wait until there's content before I even begin writing, right? So my first thought is to figure out, well, what song am I going to parody? That's the very first thought. And then I say to myself, okay, if I'm going to choose this song, can the song that I choose match the original rhyme scheme? So it's so important with parodies that you match the original rhyme scheme of the song. Otherwise, it's not catchy at all. Mm-hmm. And then what I do is I just keep track every single day of something big that's happened in pop culture. In and around the 20th or so of the month, I say, all right, let's do a first sort of rough draft of a song. I give myself about 3 days or so to write the full song. And then I record it in about a day and a half or so. And then I got a guy named Albert.
So you write it yourself?
These are all written
by me. You're the writer.
Yeah, all written by me. And then we jump into the studio for about a day and a half, 2 days. We write stuff and then we do the same thing with the video. And then in about three days after that, out comes the output. And so in total, it's about 10 days of work, I would say, for these recaps from like literally start to finish. But the real challenge with these recaps is, A, I'm always one to try to top the next one. It's really important to me to take care of these. These are sort of my baby. But you can't predict what the hell is going to happen in a month, right? I'll tell you, the one for July, we finished that on like the 26th. And then I think that weekend, Robert Downey Jr. is announced as Dr. Doom. How can you not include that, right? So you've got to go ahead and include that. So now you have to do a couple of edits and whatnot. So it's a stressful 10 days because once I'm done the thing and I'm like, oh, I hope nothing else crazy happens. And it's honestly the most fun that I've had, creatively speaking, since doing media for what, almost 15 years now.
What's been your favorite song to parody, though?
Love this question. Eddie Murphy, Party All the Time. my favorite. In fact, we actually shot it in the studio that I'm sitting in right now. I had the whole wig and on and everything. That was my favorite one to do for sure.
Do you remember what month that was? I got to look that up.
That's got to be July 2022, I think.
Okay. I'm going to go pull that.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Going back for 1 second, because the similarity just strikes me, but I know you're a wrestling fan. I think you follow WWE mainly, right?
Yeah, and AEW. Both.
Okay. Yeah, strongly. Have you seen Joe Hendry?
I believe. Don't you?
Yeah. Because, man, his parody songs have turned that kid into a star.
A flat out star. Yeah.
They've been that way for a while, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when he was doing ICW stuff, that was the big thing. Is when Joe Hendry was on, you were going to get this ridiculously overproduced entrance song of him, you know, making his way to the ring and then the entrance along with it. Like, he's got a great brain for stuff like that.
Oh my God. He's so smart. Even I heard him do an interview recently where he talked about his theme song, and he talked about how when he wrote the theme song, he studied the science, the neuroscience of how to make something addictive. So he's like, you know, in the song, I literally clap my hands and zoom in on that so that all the monkeys know, clap your hands now, you know, and play along. And he's like, I literally put in the lyrics, wave your hands back and forth, because he's like, it's all about that interactivity. And then when he does the song parodies, like you're doing with the monthly recaps, he talks about, I want to find a catchy song, and then I want to find the best way possible to roast my opponent, right? And I saw one, someone just sent this to me this week, and I peed myself. It was so good. He was having a match somewhere. I don't know when this was. Maybe Tid knows. He was working against the former WWE star Elias. And Elias used to do the thing in the ring where he sang with his guitar and all that. And Hendry comes out. First off, Elias is in the ring talking. He's like, oh, this Joe Hendry, he's an Elias wannabe and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden the music hits. And it's like, I can't remember what the lead up to it was, but the hook was like, Hendry took his job, took his job. Hendry took his job. I was in tears. I'm like, he kind of did. He took his spot completely. And I was dying. I'm like, this guy is a genius. You know, he's going to rocket to the top of the industry. And dude, I see the exact same thing with you. You have this creative energy and you have this fire in your belly, which I had when I was young and good looking, but now I'm an old broken down piece of meat. And you know what, dude, I look at this and I go, holy shit, this guy, sky's the limit. So Shem, man, I'm so impressed by everything you're doing.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate that, man. That means a lot. Again, these recaps mean a lot to me, and I give a shit about them. You know what I mean? I never want to have a throwaway month. You know, the worst thing somebody could say to me is, oh, that was cool, but I like last month's better. You know, and sometimes you get that from trolls, right? So those words mean a lot. Thank you, man.
And you got it.
It used to be good.
You got to appreciate a year like this year too, right? Because we're getting United States is going into an election year.
Listen, Donald Trump is the gift that keeps on giving, right? Like, he really is.
Yeah,
he really is. But to your point, I have to be so careful with what I say about Trump, right? Because again, like, even in the one that you played, I just mentioned that he got shot and that was it. There's a lot more I could say about Trump, but you don't want to come across as partisan, and then you get the Trumpers and they're anti-Trumpers, and then your comment section is all of a sudden not what you want it to be, and then it becomes a whole shit show, right? So I it's a delicate balance. And again, you're right. If he wins in November, these recaps 2025 might get real could get a little dicey.
The craziest thing, and I'm surprised it didn't make it into your parody this month, the craziest thing he has said in a long time, and that's a big mountain of crazy things to say. The craziest thing I think he's ever said, he said this past week when he said in front of an open mic, and no one could say, oh, it was edited, it was out of context. In an open mic, he says, I know that you don't want to get out there and vote. Just come and vote this one last time. I'm going to fix the country, and then you never have to vote again.
Crazy. Right? But how do you tackle that? What do you do with that in song? Right? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But that is one of the scariest and craziest things any leader has ever said. I'm going to fix the country. Guess what? I'm going to be king.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're all going to sit on this side of the border and with our popcorn and watch the whole thing go down.
Yep.
Absolutely. Right. I picked up this new habit, Shem, which I just love. Whenever people, you know, just like defiantly post, like someone like a celebrity or whatever will post like, I'm supporting Harris, right? Mm-hmm. And then you'll see the comments section. It's like Trump 2024, Trump 20. And like, they don't have anything else to say. That's their comment. So I've now got a copy and paste hotkey on my phone. And I'll just respond with, have you read his platform? I'm not being an asshole. I'm not being derogatory. And you know what? 99% of the time, they don't have a clue what's in his platform. And if anyone actually goes and reads it, it is terrifying. The things that he's talking about, making homelessness illegal. Like, if you're homeless, you're going to get a chance to be taken to an internment camp. But if you refuse, you go to jail. This is in his platform. Or he talks about college credits will no longer be awarded to students unless they pass a secondary exam confirming their belief in traditional patriotic values. What the fuck is that?
Well, the one that gets me is the federal amnesty, basically, for police officers.
That's the one.
Totally. That one is wacky. And listen, if that's what you want to do, cool. But then don't be hiring every 17 and 18 year old fresh off the street to have that job. There needs to be a lot more
stringency.
100%, right?
It's so crazy. Like,
it's wacky stuff. It's wacky stuff. And I think that a lot of it is just to, you know, he's a monkey throwing shit up against the wall. Right?
Americans
are just eating it up.
Yeah.
I literally said to a friend of mine this week, I said, look, if you support Trump, you're not being a conservative. You're a fascist, bordering on communist. And they go, what are you talking about? And I'm like, read his platform. Just read the platform. Okay? Like, instead of just saying, he's a good businessman and he's going to run the country like one of his businesses, which is always the shit that they trumpet. Just go read his platform, because it is terrifying. And then if you still want to vote for him, cool, go ahead. But if you do, I have a feeling your comprehension skills are very low.
But I also think people vote for individuals as opposed to their interests nowadays, right? I mean,
I don't know. In Canada, maybe. Not in the U.S., man. They're party affiliated.
Well, because there's a thing. Here's the thing that you have to remember. And you might think that, like, IQs might be low and whatever. And you might be talking about, like, oh, they're the troglodytes of the earth that would vote for them and stuff like that. That's not always the case, because you got to remember, the Republicans also represent a very, very, very big part of the other country. And that's the extremely wealthy and the tax breaks that go along with it. So you're talking a very big sect of people with influence and money. And the Democrats are no different. Listen, it's all a gigantic shit show one way or the other. It's just a matter of how we digest it ourselves and how we decide to, you know, take all of that information and spew it out there on social media for everybody else.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head. You're absolutely right. It's all scary. I'm glad we're on this side of the border. Don't get me wrong. We got a lot of, you know, our own shit to take care of. But I am also glad that we're on this side, because America is, I feel like we're in the middle of watching the series finale of America sometimes. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of how it feels.
Let's all remember how that country started.
Right.
Let's all remember how that country started.
You were there. Tell us.
I wasn't. I mean, I saw the rerun. You know, it was a gigantic tea party. We were sick and tired of you telling us what to do, so we're going to go to war with you to have our own way. I mean, they've done it before. They went to war with themselves. The last time a war was fought on North American soil in the United States was against themselves in the Civil War. Like, they're not afraid to do this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Let's just hope that it doesn't come down to that and cooler heads prevail and democracy, true democracy, not a bunch of fabricated bullshit, ends up taking place for everybody across the world.
Shem, I know that you're a guy just like me who appreciates a good hat. So I want to just quickly do a quick shout out to one of our sponsors, Black Bork USA. Black Bork USA makes killer hats, folks. And the beautiful thing about it is, they are, oh my God, my green screen is fucking this thing up. These hats, I'm going to switch hats. Can we see this one?
Yeah.
These hats are completely interchangeable with whatever you put on the front. You can purchase patches off of blackborkusa.com, or you can send them your own custom designs and get whatever the hell you want. Like this one I have here that shouts out one of the greatest TV shows of all time, Three's Company. That's my Regal Beagle hat. Every single time you change your patch, you're essentially getting a brand new hat. And it's such a cool product. And the hats are high quality. They have hundreds of different colors and styles. I got this one on right now. Just go to blackborkusa.com. Tell them the Godfathers of Podcasting sent you. Shem, we'll get you one.
Appreciate that. I got a big ass head, so.
Hey, listen, if people want to get in touch with you, if they want to pay attention to the monthly recaps, if they want to find out more, where do they go?
Yeah, easy. Just across all socials, at Shem, at S-H-E-M. That's the best way to get a hold of me. And I'm really good at answering DMs. So, yeah, hit me up anytime.
That's not true. You're not that good at answering DMs.
Why?
Yeah, it sounds like you would be with all of that free time that you have on your hands.
Listen, I want to do this again sometime, okay? We're going to have you on again. And when we do, I want to check out those pipes. I want to hear that church choir voice of yours. And I want to hear you belt something out, dude.
Deal. I'll have a song ready to go for you. How about that?
I love it.
I will have a little jingle ready to go for you guys.
Give it up to Shem, everybody. That was fun.
That was amazing.
Very good guy.
Absolutely. Good guy.
I like him. He's a talented dude. We'll be able to say we talked to him before he blew up like Drake.
Did Drake blow up?
We can only dream.
I mean, I know that's what Kendrick Lamar would have in mind.
Ted, final thoughts? Shit you want to plug?
Yeah, tuck your chin. Now, as always, you know what? It's always a blast. You can see it there at Notorious TID on all of my socials, all of the stuff out there, as well as the Law Live Audio Wrestling over on YouTube. Go check that out. New content stuff going up all the time. A lot of MMA talk, a lot of boxing talk, a lot of wrestling talk, and a lot of shit talk, first and foremost. If you think that this is one thing, man, whew, stuff gets a little crazy over there. So please, you know, check it out. And outside of that, it's been too long. Let's not make it so long next time, Donnie.
Sounds good to me. Don't forget, you can check me out on Instagram at Donnie.DeSilva. Don't look for me on Twitter. Don't look for me on Facebook. You're not going to find me, but you can find me on Instagram. That's the place to hit me up. Or you can find us at Godfathers of Podcasting, also on Instagram. Those are your two best bets. And thank you so much to everyone for checking out this episode. Thanks to Shem. And we'll see you next time.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me, I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. All right then. I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.